Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Glass, and I welcome you to the broadcast. Well, with the Lord's help, we're going to continue on sharing a message I've entitled Of Mercy and Judgment. And we were looking at 16 verses in the first book of 2 Kings. And this is a story about an occurrence in the life of Elijah the prophet. And more importantly, why are we taking the time to look at this sort of unusual passage in Scripture? Because we want to see God's heart toward the lost, God's heart toward the rebellious and the disobedient. What do we see? If I can just put in my own words those 16 verses, there was a king of Israel by the name of Ahaziah, who was the son of wicked parents, Ahab and Jezebel. And it said in the preceding, the end of 1 Kings, that he walked in the ways of his father. He taught Israel to sin, following the ways of Jeroboam. And he had acted his whole life following the pattern that had been established by his parents. However, God, in his mercy, was giving this man an opportunity to repent. That's how what I'm reading in these verses. Because what he did, he had an accident. He was obviously really ill. He was sick, it says. And he sent messengers to go and inquire of Baal, who was the god of, you know, who Ahab served and Jezebel. And they started to go, but they never finished, completed their assignment, because God sent Elijah to speak to them and say, give this word to your master. Tell him you, because, you know, isn't there a God in Israel that you have to go and inquire of a false god, Baal? I'm not quoting. I'm basically sharing what he basically said. And they never went on to go to their destination. They just went back and gave the king the message. He said, how come you're back so soon? He said, well, we met this guy. And they described him. He said, it's Elijah. And so rather than hearing the word of the Lord and causing his own soul to be chastened before the Lord and inquire of God and realize that he perhaps may have been at the very point of death, and to seek God for mercy, he hardened his heart, and he sent a group of 50 men with a captain over them. He did this twice, and there was a demonstration of God's power. They were insolent, both of them. In fact, the second one was even more insolent. The first one says, Elijah, come down. He was on the top of a hill. And he says, if I'm a man of God, let the fire of God fall and consume you and your men. And that's exactly what happened. And the second group was even more insolent. The captain of the second band, he said, come down quickly. And what we see here, that these were following the footsteps and example of their king. They were mocking God. They were rebellious. They were insolent, sacrilegious, and they brought their punishment down on themselves. And God will not hold guiltless those who persist in rebellion and stiff-neckedness. There's an awful price that man is going to have to pay if they continue to harden their neck against God. And beloved, we're living in a time, and I'm just with all my heart praying to God and others with me as we pray in earnest prayer, that there are those who seem so far gone. Those in the music industry, those in the film industry in Hollywood, those in politics, unspeakable perversion and wickedness and iniquity and evil. And we need to pray, because as long as there's breath in their body, they do have an opportunity to repent. There's no one so evil that the blood of Jesus is not strong and powerful enough to cleanse them completely of all sin and forgive their sin and cleanse them from all unrighteousness. Listen, beloved, we read the very pages of this word, and it was penned by a man who did severest damage to early Christianity by the name of, his name was Saul of Tarsus. He consented to their murder. And finally, God got a hold of him in a Damascus Road experience, and he became one of the greatest apostles that the church has ever known, penned most of the New Testament. So we can never judge and point a finger and they say, he's too far gone. No, only God knows that. We are to pray and then leave them in God's hands and pray that God will bring workers, those that are in their circles, those that will speak a word to them of salvation. There's no heart. I mean, I heard someone today or yesterday that actually had great success because they openly said they had agreed to the Luciferian agenda of the Illuminati and was now asking for deliverance. You see, even while there's still breath, there's hope. Sometimes the bargains we make with the devil aren't worth the cost. Your return, what shall man give for his own soul? That's what Jesus said. And so, beloved, we need not to be, leave the judgment to God. We need to be a people of prayer, asking God for mercy and also his justice, because we see both in operation in this chapter. All right, so how far have we gone? Well, we saw there were two groups, military groups, if you were, who came to physically escort Elijah back to the king. And of course, God demonstrated his power and his protection over Elijah. But listen what happened. And so that you would think that would cause the king to reconsider when he heard what had happened. He'd lost 100 men plus two captains. You would think he might have it might have put the fear of God in his heart. However, instead, he sends a third group. And so we see a third captain who came with his 50 men. But this man came in a different attitude. Let me take the time to read it. It says, and the third captain of the 50, this is verse 13, went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and besought him and said unto him, see, he recognized who he was. He said, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these servants, these 50 thy servants, be precious in thy sight. Behold, there came fire down from heaven and burn up the two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight. And you know what? God was demonstrating his mercy because this captain came with fear, the fear of God in his heart, and he begged for mercy. And so, you see, beloved, no matter how wicked people may appear, only God knows the heart, and our response is to pray for them, to love them, to witness as God gives opportunity, to pray that God bring others in their realm of influence and in their circle of acquaintances who might be able to speak words of life. This is our job. And because God is, mercy triumphs over judgment. That is the very nature of God. He could have left man to himself. He could have said, Adam and Eve, you sinned, you rebelled, that's it. You know, it's over. I promised you death, you're going to get it. Well, they did physically die, but he also gave them a promise. His love and his mercy said that there's going to be the seed of a woman who will crush the head of the serpent. And then that was found and fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. So what happens then? Well, we see the angel of the Lord said to Elijah, verse 15, right after this captain, the third captain, begs for mercy. He says, go down with him. Don't be afraid of him. And so he arose and went down to the king. And he repeats the very same message that God had given to him, that he had delivered to the other two envoys. In fact, actually, well, no, he did it first to the group of messengers and then to the two military contingents of 50 men each. And then he delivers that same message. He said, "Is it not because there is no God in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore thou shalt not come down off that bed on which thou art gone up, but thou shalt surely die." And does it say when he was face to face with the prophet that Ahaziah, the king, would have repented and would begged for mercy, even as his third captain did? No, there's silence, and apparently he did not. So he died according to the word of the Lord, which Elijah had spoken. And so we see here a powerful demonstration of God's heart to those who have rejected him, to those perhaps who have walked in the way of the Lord, who once knew him. He's calling backsliders back home. He's calling those in the church world that have started to assume polluted doctrine and the doctrines of demons and have changed the inerrancy, or not changed, they can't do that, but they have said the word of God is no longer applicable. We need to be culturally irrelevant. We need to be pertinent for today's society. The virgin birth, no, we just have to understand that Jesus was a wonderful teacher. There's wonderful moral law that's contained in the scripture. Beloved, they take all the power of God out of the scriptures, and they also deny the Lord who bought them with a price. They deny the living God. Beloved, we are living in very perilous times, and I'm preaching this way to you. I don't often share a message like this, but we have to understand that we need to do all that we can do, that the gospel can be preached before it is everlastingly too late. There's going to come a time when there's not going to be any second chances. So if you have loved ones that aren't serving the Lord, or children that have backslid, write to me, send me their names so we can pray and agree together. There's power in agreement. And so in a moment, the announcer is going to give our contact information. Also, as I've been sharing the last number of broadcasts, if you'd like that free booklet, "Which Way Are You Running?" by Reverend Neil Glass, written back in the 80s, a powerful message that'll stir your heart. It's not long, but it'll really stir your heart, I believe. So I invite you to write. Thank you for sharing your prayer requests, and thank you so much for your prayers. I pray, Radio Family, for you every day. I lift the UCM partners, part of my spiritual family, and the Radio Family. Some of you have never written, but if God's moving on your heart, you better obey him. He has a reason for doing so. I love you. Thank God for you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.